Lee, it's so sad. So sad.
Yeah.
Mainstream media painting Kamala Harris as the victim of horrific racism.
Yeah.
Because Donald Trump said she's not black. And what he's referring to is the very long history of her running for the Senate as the first Indian American.
Right.
To take the Senate.
Her words.
Her words.
Yeah.
Right. But this is horrific racism. It's so bad to tell a black person, even if she's kind of only barely black, but whatever. It's so bad to tell a black person they're not black. Like that, you don't know. You cannot be white, Lee, and tell a black person they ain't black. And if you do, by God, you're going to feel the wrath of the mainstream media if you do that. Unless you're Joe Biden?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
More questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man.
Okay. This is exactly what Trump just did. He said, she's not black, right? Because if you're the white male, you're supposed to be able to pronounce she's not black, right? Right?
And he said, take a look at my record.
That's what he said. And he said, yes. I'm the best president for black people since Abraham Lincoln. We could debate that, but that's what he said. Well, that's what Joe said. That's exactly what Joe said. And the media did not care. When he sat there, Joe Biden with Charlamagne the God, who is black, and told him, if you don't support me, you're not black. That was no problem, okay?
Yeah.
But when Trump does literally the same thing, it is horrific racism.
Of course.
Okay, just so we're clear where we all are.
Even though it was the black journalist who brought up the issue of race to begin with.
Right. Not Trump, the journalist. Okay. Meanwhile, in other things they would prefer we not talk about, did you see the new whistleblower revelations from Senator Josh Hawley's office?
Yeah, we just covered that in the news top of the hour.
Yeah. Just blowing. I'm asking you rhetorically.
No, okay.
Just,
yes, yeah, yes, I did see that.
Did you? Wow.
And
okay.
And claiming that he, and in fact, we had been hearing about this aspect of this for some time, that he, in fact, was a part of the decision not to increase security or denying the security request for previous events.
The acting Secret Service Director, Ronald Rowe, was the one, this is incredible, was the person who made directed cuts to Secret Service personnel agents who do threat assessments for events.
Mm-hmm.
Made sure those people were not around for this event. Here's what Senator Hawley writes. This is whistleblower coming forward to say this. A whistleblower has, you know, told his office, the Secret Service Counter-Surveillance Division, so that's the division that performs threat assessments of the event site before the event occurs, did not perform their typical evaluation of the Butler site, and they were not present on the day. Normally, they would be. This is significant, Senator Hawley writes, because the Counter-Surveillance Division of the Secret Service, their duties include evaluating potential security threats, listen to this, outside the security perimeter, and mitigating those threats during the event. The whistleblower told Senator Hawley that if the personnel from the Secret Service Counter-Surveillance Division had been present at the rally, as they always are, except not this one, the gunman would have been handcuffed in the parking lot after being spotted with a rangefinder. So, Lee, that would have been at about an hour and a half before the rally. So let me get this straight. Okay. He cuts the counter-surveillance team, okay? The people responsible for making sure the area outside the perimeter is safe. Whoever's in charge, because he won't tell us who it was, draws the best vantage point for an assassin out of the perimeter. Make sure that the team that is supposed to evaluate and prevent that easily could have done that, is not present. Then when the local cops are like, hey, we've got a drone, a law enforcement drone specifically for spotting shooters that can neutralize shooters. This isn't your typical Walmart drone, Lee. This is specialized law enforcement equipment. You and I, we don't get to buy that. Probably a good thing. that. And law enforcement is like, hey, you want us to fly it? Like, yeah, we could fly it outside perimeter for you. No, 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 we don't want that. And then they claim their own drone didn't work because of bandwidth issues, although the shooter's drone worked just fine during the same time.
Yeah. As a senator, I believe, said during one of those hearings.
Right. So you're telling me your drone doesn't work because of bandwidth issues. Yeah. So you turned down local law enforcement who offered to fly a drone for you, a drone that would have found the gun, more than likely, if not the shooter. Yeah. And you let the team, you suspended the team that's supposed to come in and check the perimeter for this event. Yeah. The same event where you told Trump's regular Secret Service team, hey, y'all been working for 7 days, why don't you take the event off? Yeah. The same event where you won't tell us who supervised it, won't give us a name, cannot know. Yeah, that event.
How many times do we see the federal government prosecuting and going after individuals and corporations who did not do enough to protect other people or consumers in various situations? And yet this is every piece of information we're getting about this is leading to the fact that we have a federal government agency whose sole responsibility is the protection of U.S. government people or either elected officials or those who are running for office, at least on a high level. That is their sole purpose, and they did not do enough, demonstrably avoided doing their job with any due diligence, and they're being protected.
It gets worse, because now it's clear that this Secret Service director lied. Remember the word games he played with Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz? He's like, look, what does Biden get? Tell us. Does he have 2 times Trump security, 3 times, 4 times? And he's like, no. There have been no personnel cuts. There's no cuts. Yeah, there were.
Yeah.
And he didn't tell the truth. This is also from Senator Hawley's letter on this. And it said, you acknowledged in your Senate testimony that the American Glass Research Complex, from which the shooter shot, should have been included in the security perimeter of the Butler event. The whistleblower says that because, you know, he cut those security staff, the ones that look, that do pre-event work, because they were not present in Butler, the manifest shortcoming was never flagged or mitigated. And the whistleblower says you personally directed significant cuts in the CSD up to and including reducing the division's manpower by 20%. You did not mention this in your Senate testimony when asked directly to explain manpower reductions. So in other words, for those just tuning in, they have a specific group that goes and from the Secret Service surveils inside and outside the perimeter to do threat assessments. He cut them. So they never went to Butler for this event. Now listen to this. The whistleblower also says retaliation against those inside the Secret Service happened to those who expressed concern about the security at President Trump's event. So if you even brought this up, you were retaliated against. The whistleblower says that following an event with former President Trump at a golf tournament, Secret Service personnel present expressed serious concerns that the Secret Service's use of local law enforcement was not adequate for security needs. Local law enforcement were not properly trained for the event. They expressed alarm that individuals were admitted to the event without vetting it. And the whistleblower says that those who raised those concerns were retaliated against. Okay, here's the crazy thing, all right? This is just the senator. This is just Josh Hawley who says, hey, if you're a whistleblower, you know something, hey, come to my office. We're learning everything about these events from the whistleblowers, not from the FBI, who's supposedly running the criminal investigation, and not from Ronald Rowe.
Good point.
Why is that? And here's another problem. Ronald Rowe is now the acting director of the Secret Service. Joe Biden Lee could have picked anybody. He could have picked me, you, to be the acting director. Trump probably be safer at that point, even if we had to walk into a galaxy. How does security work again?
Yeah.
Because we'd try, right? We'd actually try. He's not trying, right? Joe Biden could have picked anybody. And he picks Ronald Rowe, the guy who was in charge of day-to-day operations, the guy who cut the security personnel specifically before this event, resulting in every problem that you saw. That guy is the one who's the acting director of the Secret Service. And guess what else he's the director of? The investigation of the rally.
Fox.
For the Secret Service.
Fox, please guard the hen house for us, please, here.
This is not an accident. Yeah. This is what you do if you want a cover-up.
No.
The Biden administration, and they could have picked anybody to take this job. They give it to the guy who caused the death of a father who had to throw his body on his family to save them from a bullet and almost caused the death of President Trump. And then they lie. And by the way, Steve Scalise, who's ranking Republican member in the House,
who knows a few things about getting shot.
Yes, because he was shot.
And nearly died.
By yet another liberal troll.
Yes.
The only kind who seemed to do shootings. If you go back in my Battleground America podcast, I have documented how most of these major shooters that we've had over the last 2 years are liberal.
Yeah.
They are liberal trolls weaponized by liberal language. And how they cover this up. But anyway, here's Steve Scalise pointing out, hey, this guy, you know, for all he's done to us since he was, you know, all he's done is, you know, since he was appointing acting director of the Secret Service, is just lie to Congress.
It was deadly for Corey. It should not have happened. And this is why we're doing our own independent investigation, because, you know, you go back to the day of the shooting for about a week. We were lied to, the whole country was, by the Secret Service saying no, President Trump's team was not denied additional protection. Turns out, yes, in fact, they were denied, and they later admitted to that lie. They talked about the slope of the roof being too steep. That turned out not to be true as well. I don't know why they're misleading the American people, but we're fed up with it, and we're going to get real answers. But these technology breakdowns are inexcusable. This is 2024. This isn't like 2055. You know, there's no excuse for those kind of breakdowns. You know, turning down drone technology when a 20-year-old kid had the drone that he was able to use to go and surveil this butler area. I mean, there's no reason for any of this.
Yeah. And then we find out not only did you lie to Congress, your lies cover up the fact you cut security and you didn't tell Congress. Wow. There's something huge here beneath the surface. I mean, it's going to wreck us when we find out about it. And I think they're just trying to keep us from finding out until the election. I think that's what they're doing right now. You know what's been bugging me about this assassination attempt? If you listen to my Battleground America podcast, you knew starting in December, exactly the week that Joe Biden would drop out. It'd be the week after the Republican convention. I told you that. You knew. It's old news to you by the time it happened. I've had so many of you contact me going, oh my God, I cannot believe you got that right. And it's because I took the calendar out and I looked at it and realized it was a weapon. And what the Democrats intended to do, they failed at large parts of it. But what they intended to do, this is why they, look, folks, they could have easily convicted Donald Trump last year. He could have been in prison by now. In all the time in the world, right? They had 3 years to bring all these charges, but they waited and waited and waited until, by the way, some of the charges went beyond the statute of limitations. Why? Because they thought they were going to be cute. And it was a brilliant, brilliant plan. You could see the first clue that what they were doing, the trials of Donald Trump did not start until after Super Tuesday. So he'd be locked in, right? Locked in as our nominee. Hard to get rid of him. And they intended to convict him twice. In the original, in December, trial schedule, Trump would be tried and convicted twice by the convention. So even if you loved Trump, you thought he was great, you were going to have to contend as a Republican with the argument, well, he's going to be in prison, though. He can't run the country from prison. This is why you saw the left do something they've never done before. We've never seen before. When you lose a primary and you're a legit, authentic candidate like Ron DeSantis was, you immediately run out of money. No one's going to pay you to lose and you drop out. The more Nikki Haley lost, the more they paid her to stay in. The money got bigger and bigger and bigger, hundreds of millions of dollars. Why? So that she could clinch 20% of the vote. Why? So that Trump was supposed to be double convicted by, and I said all this in December, by the nominating convention. Nikki would be the candidate with the second most votes. Okay, she's a moderate. She's Bush wing. She would go into the nominating convention and tear it apart. In other words, the 20% would want Nikki. Everybody else, you know, 60 to 80% would want Trump. And the Republican Party would fracture. It would absolutely fracture. Trump, if he came out of the nominating convention at all, remember, according to James Comey, former head of the FBI, was supposed to be wearing a monitoring bracelet. Okay? The party would be so fractured that he'd maybe get 80% of the Republican vote. And then the week, you know, in the general election, and then the week after the primary, I'm sorry, the week after the nominated convention, Joe Biden would drop out. That's how they were going to use the calendar as a weapon. I laid it out in December. That's how I knew the week he would drop out. I could see the weapon take shape as I looked at the calendar. So it was critical for them to have Trump delegitimized, but locked in by our votes by the convention. So the convention was supposed to be a bloodbath. And they still thought it would be a bloodbath. In the weeks before the convention, I get this text from Mike Gallagher. Tara, 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 look, look, look what Nikki Haley's brother's tweeting. She's going to go to the convention, man. She's going to turn it all up. What'd make her think she could do that? Weird. Why would there be a contested convention? Well, the second court case that was supposed to result in Trump being double convicted, by the grace of God, I mean, he dodged that like he dodged the bullet. He got lucky with Fani Willis because she's a criminal and got caught at it. Otherwise, they'd be trying him right now if they didn't have him tried before the convention. He got lucky. He got as lucky as he got with that bullet. I never seen anything like it. Hold on with the music a minute because I'm going to explain something. Look at the calendar again. See it as the weapon it is. Why were the Democrats doing this? They were doing this because they are frustrated since 2016, even when they've won majorities in the House and the Senate, that they need to remake the Supreme Court, remake the country into something we don't recognize. The majorities weren't big enough. So they needed Trump to go down in flames and take the House and the Senate with him so they could do amnesty, remake the Supreme Court, and become a one-party system just like China. They are very frustrated they can't do that. And this was a brilliant, brilliant plan. It would have worked if Fani Willis was not a criminal. It would have worked if they got any other judge in the federal courts. They weren't supposed to get Rosemary Collyer. She said, no, the FBI broke the law with the evidence. They tampered with it. No, we're not doing this. No, and you're not legally appointed. They didn't count on that either. Trump's gotten as lucky with these court cases as he did with the bullets. Now, look at the timing of the attempted assassination. It's as if whoever crafted this plan picked the timing. Why? You don't want him assassinated after the convention. It'll just default to J.D. Vance. Everyone will coalesce behind him, the moderates, the country clubbers who support Nikki Haley, who are really Democrats, the whole party. They just coalesce behind Vance. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. No big deal. You had to take him out before the convention. Why? To tear it apart. Enter Nikki Haley claiming, hey, it's me. I got the next highest number of votes. Yeah, that's because you had so much Democrat money you could keep going. Not because the people want you. And it would have torn the vote apart. That's why Trump had to be out of there before the convention. They failed. The cases fell apart. The lawfare fell apart. Yes, they did get him on the one, the 34, but they didn't get him on two. And that meant he doesn't have enough of a criminal record that they're going to easily be able to put him in prison and say, hey, you know what? Nice guy, but he can't run the country from prison. They can't say that. It fell apart. So if you are there on the eve of the convention, it's fallen apart. How do you reset that plan? How do you make sure that it all gets torn apart at the convention? The party's so divided, we go into November with an 80-20 split and the Democrats win in a landslide, House, Senate, and presidency. Got to do it before there's a vice president appointed, right? They only had one way left. And I can see it on the calendar. And it had to be that rally. It could not be any other rally. It had to be that one. They had to get them before the nominating convention in order to tear it apart and put the plan back in motion. And they woulda, but they missed. Who's they? I don't know. You tell me. So somehow this deranged shooter picks the exact moment needed in an attempt to assassinate Trump right before the convention, right? Because you know what? They couldn't have a vice president appointed. Because that it would just default to that person. We'd still be not unified, even more probably unified if they made Trump a dead martyr. This assassination syncs exactly with the weapon, and the weapon was the calendar. It's not even, I mean, at this point, it's not even any good. It'll just default to J.D. Vance. Everyone having seen Trump martyred would just fall behind Vance. But you wouldn't get that before the primary, before the nominated convention. See the timing? It was as if they were trying to resurrect. It's what's bothering me. It's as if they were trying to resurrect the plan. But incredibly, miraculously, through literally a miracle, a second miracle, Love having this new tool back that we use. I know they use it at Fox News, too. It's called Topic Pulse. You could see what the number one thing people are talking about in the country is. There's two things right now. This is wild to me. Number one, that Olympic fight between a person who has XY chromosomes and failed a gender test and a woman who lasted 46 seconds before she fell to her knees crying and couldn't take a hit again. That's the number one story. What's the number two story? Kamala Harris, her supposed black heritage. She's a black woman, except she was an Indian woman when she ran for the Senate. Those are the two stories people are most interested in this country right now. Fascinating, right? Fascinating. And Riley Gaines said this. The rate we're going here, a woman is going to be killed.
If this isn't a line we draw in the sand, I don't even know if a woman being fatally injured, if that's the line we draw in the sand. It's tragic that this is the reality. I predicted this, honestly. I mean, I could have told you. I've seen all over social media people saying, how did we get here? You shouldn't be surprised by this. This is what we should be expecting.
Peyton McNabb made the news over a year ago. She was a volleyball player. She's brain damaged now. Can't play anymore. Didn't get to go to college on a volleyball scholarship as she wanted to because she was hit so hard in the head. This is up in North Carolina. I don't know if you remember the story. She was hit so hard in the head by a male volleyball player, a transgender male volleyball player, that she not only has permanent brain damage, she has partial paralysis on one side and has difficulty walking still for any great length of time. Peyton McNabb, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I got to tell you, watching that video of you get hit is really hard. My daughter plays volleyball at the level that you do. And we had a girl on our team, a hitter, who was hit in the head by another girl from another team. She had a brain bleed, went to the hospital, blackouts, couldn't play for a month. And that's getting a hit in the head by a girl. So I can't tell me what this was like for you.
It was completely heartbreaking and traumatizing for me. I was so excited to go into my senior year, my last year, and playing a sport that I love, playing three sports that I love because I've been an athlete since I could walk, three-sport athlete, and I was so excited, and it ended as quickly as it began. It was so frustrating, and because I don't know if I'll ever be the same as I was before that day on the court. My career ended that day on the court, and it's so upsetting because it was 100% avoidable, and my rights just weren't as important as a man's feelings, and that was just really heartbreaking.
You said that the person who hit you in the head and the teammates laughed as you were literally knocked out cold by this hit.
Yeah, while I was unconscious, people were rushing on the court to see if I was okay. And my teammates, like you can see them, if you watch the whole video, they just stand there in shock and they just like couldn't believe what just happened. And the other side, they all had gotten in a huddle and all were laughing at me. And my teammates were like inching over there and telling them like, it's not funny. I don't know why you're laughing. And they just all were laughing while I was down.
Wow. Peyton McNabb, it's been over a year since we all read about you and we saw that horrible video of you getting hit. Can you tell us about, I know you've had physical challenges still from this. You are not completely healed from this. You say you won't, you think you might not ever be right. That's not just, hey, you can't play sports anymore, which you can't. Tell us about the ongoing partial paralysis problems that you have from this hit and the other problems you have.
Yeah, so thankfully, I mean, it's almost been 2 years and it's gotten a lot better since the beginning. And I'm very blessed that it has because the doctors didn't know how long it was going to take. But the Lord is healing me. It is really slow, though, because it was the brain. And the partial paralysis thing, I mean, that was really bad in the beginning. It's still not fully, I'm still not fully recovered from it. But it was really just my whole right side would drag, or it would just be slower, and I would be off balance a lot, fall. I had to go get my glasses redone because I couldn't see as good anymore. I have cognitive issues and have to get extra help in school, and that carried over into college. And that was also really frustrating because that's something that I had never had to do before. I was always a good student, and I couldn't even comprehend what my teachers were saying to me. So it's made school a lot harder too. There's just a lot of things that come from it. My body is still in shock from that day, and I'm just slowly trying to get better.
Peyton McNabb, what was it like for you? And I know you've made world news, not U.S. news, because as with all women who are hurt, seriously injured, or killed by Democrat policies, the sentence for that, for embarrassing the party, is, of course, cancellation. So you've been canceled as if to the mainstream media, you do not exist. But the UK Daily Mail outside this country has acknowledged you exist. And you gave them an interview the other day. What was it like for you watching this poor woman in this Olympic boxing fight give up 46 seconds in, drop to her knees and cry as her life streams, as yours did, vanish before her face because she can't take another hit? What was that like for you?
It was absolutely heartbreaking. And seeing those pictures of her on her knees crying, it just breaks my heart in half because she has worked her whole life for this moment. An interview afterwards where she says that she fights for her late dad who told her to keep pushing and all these things. And then she had to give up 46 seconds later because they put her in a ring with a man who punched her too hard. Because that's just so unfair. And she's just worked her whole life, and she's at the Olympics just to be put in the ring with a man. So it's morally wrong, and it's just hard to see because it just should not be happening.
You know, she could feel the danger of that hit to her face. You have that moment where you're like, I got to stop. I'm going to get hurt. You know that moment well. How do you feel about the media's absolute unwillingness to acknowledge women could be hurt or killed here? Riley Gaines is saying, look, we're going to have a dead woman before we have a serious conversation about that. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I feel like I've always said, like, what's the magic number? Because there's been so many girls that have been injured, and I just never knew how many there was going to be until it was a big enough deal for the Democrats and the people above us, the adults that should be protecting us. How many have to get hurt before they take it seriously? But unfortunately, I agree with Riley. I mean, I think someone will have to die before people wake up and see that it is happening. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope no one does that. I hope it doesn't go that far with anyone, but that is the reality in which we live in. And we're just going to have to see where it goes, I guess, and keep fighting because people are trying to act like this is not happening. And they're trying to be inclusive, but they're really just excluding all women and saying, you don't matter. Your safety doesn't matter, because they don't want to upset a man who has a false reality that they're a woman.
Unbelievable. Real quick question. I've always been curious about that. When you got hit in the head in that volleyball game that I think the whole world's seen now, did you know that was a transgender male that you were playing against, or no?
I did. Okay. It was really obvious because we didn't play anyone that hit like that, and we had to prepare differently for this game. Almost my whole team, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but 99% of my team and like all of my administration, none of us wanted to do it. None of us agree with it. But we had no idea what to do. I mean, this was 2 years ago. I feel like if this happened today, we would kind of be like, okay, yeah, we're just going to refuse to play because more and more people are talking about it. And we're forcing people to talk about it, like over at IW, we're making this a conversation every day. And that really wasn't the case 2 years ago. So a lot of people say, you know, I asked for this, I agreed to play the game, but I had no idea what to do. And I'm definitely not afraid to stand up for, obviously I'm not, to stand up for what's right and what I believe in. But at the time, I had no idea, like, how we would even go about it. But yeah, we did know.
Well, Peyton McNabb, I hope that you are able to fully heal eventually from the hit to your head by this transgender male woman.
Thank you so much.
And I want to thank you for joining us this morning on 98.9 WORD. Peyton McNabb of North Carolina just joined us on the show to talk about the brain damage she still has and the struggles in her day-to-day life. Ruined her vision. She was a student. Now she has to have help because of the brain damage she had from a transgender woman. In other words, a boy pretending to be a girl, played her in volleyball, knocked her out cold, including partial paralysis on one side of her body she's still recovering from. Media doesn't care. The sentence, as a woman, if you are maimed or killed by a Democrat policy, the sentence for that is cancellation. Been saying this for a year now. They will cancel you. You have embarrassed the party by failing to survive their policies. And before they cancel you, they may mock you. Remember Joy Reid and Jamila Jayapal, liberal Congress member, laughing at the dead, laughing at them for failing to survive the left's and Kamala Harris's border czar policies. And it's no different here. She didn't survive fully intact. She is damaged. Peyton McNabb, she's going to have to fight to come back. So she is an object of shame and thus must be canceled. We cannot speak of her. And you know what she said that bothered me the most in that last interview right there that you heard? People said to me, if you were afraid, why did you go? Why did you play? And she said, today I wouldn't have. I didn't understand what I was up against. I can hear it. Can you not hear it, ladies? Why did you wear that short skirt? I mean, you know, if you hadn't worn a shirt, that skirt, you know, that short, you know. Why did you show up? Why did you put on that volleyball outfit? Why did you play? And it's the same thing they're doing. The Love having this new tool back that we use. I know they use it at Fox News, too. It's called Topic Pulse. You could see what the number one thing people are talking about in the country is. There's two things right now. This is wild to me. Number one, that Olympic fight between a person who has XY chromosomes and failed a gender test and a woman who lasted 46 seconds before she fell to her knees crying and couldn't take a hit again. That's the number one story. What's the number two story? Kamala Harris, her supposed black heritage. She's a black woman, except she was an Indian woman when she ran for the Senate. Those are the two stories people are most interested in this country right now. Fascinating, right? Fascinating. And Riley Gaines said this. The rate we're going here, a woman is going to be killed.
If this isn't a line we draw in the sand, I don't even know if a woman being fatally injured, if that's the line we draw in the sand. It's tragic that this is the reality. I predicted this, honestly. I mean, I could have told you. I've seen all over social media people saying, how did we get here? You shouldn't be surprised by this. This is what we should be expecting.
Peyton McNabb made the news over a year ago. She was a volleyball player. She's brain damaged now. Can't play anymore. Didn't get to go to college on a volleyball scholarship as she wanted to because she was hit so hard in the head. This is up in North Carolina. I don't know if you remember the story. She was hit so hard in the head by a male volleyball player, a transgender male volleyball player, that she not only has permanent brain damage, she has partial paralysis on one side and has difficulty walking still for any great length of time. Peyton McNabb, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I got to tell you, watching that video of you get hit is really hard. My daughter plays volleyball at the level that you do. And we had a girl on our team, a hitter, who was hit in the head by another girl from another team. She had a brain bleed, went to the hospital, blackouts, couldn't play for a month. And that's getting a hit in the head by a girl. So I can't tell me what this was like for you.
It was completely heartbreaking and traumatizing for me. I was so excited to go into my senior year, my last year, and playing a sport that I love, playing three sports that I love, because I've been an athlete since I could walk, three-sport athlete, and I was so excited, and it ended as quickly as it began. It was just so, it was so frustrating, and because I don't know if I'll ever be the same as I was before that day on the court. My career ended that day on the court, and it's just, it's so upsetting because it was 100% avoidable. And my rights just weren't as important as a man's feelings. And that was just really heartbreaking.
You said that the person who hit you in the head and the teammates laughed as you were literally knocked out cold by this hit.
Yeah, while I was unconscious, people were rushing on the court to see if I was okay. And my teammates, like, you can see them in the, if you watch the whole video, they just stand there in shock and they just, like, couldn't believe what just happened. And the other side, they all had gotten in a huddle and all were laughing at me. And my teammates were, like, inching over there and telling them, like, it's not funny. I don't know why you're laughing. And they just all were laughing while I was down.
Wow. Peyton McNabb, it's been over a year since we all read about you and we saw that horrible video of you getting hit. Can you tell us about, I know you've had physical challenges still from this. You are not completely healed from this. You say you won't, you think you might not ever be right. That's not just, hey, you can't play sports anymore, which you can't. Tell us about the ongoing partial paralysis problems that you have from this hit and the other problems you have.
Yeah, so thankfully, I mean, it's almost been 2 years, and it's gotten a lot better since the beginning, and I'm very blessed that it has, because the doctors didn't know how long it was going to take, but the Lord is healing me. It is really slow, though, because it was the brain, and the partial paralysis thing, I mean, that was really bad in the beginning. It's still not fully, I'm still not fully recovered from it, but it was really just my whole right side would drag, or it would just be slower, and I would be off balance a lot, fall. I had to go get my glasses redone because I couldn't see as good anymore. I have cognitive issues and have to get extra help in school, and that carried over into college. And that was also really frustrating because that's something that I had never had to do before. I was always a good student, and I couldn't even comprehend what my teachers were saying to me. So it's made school a lot harder too. There's just a lot of things that come from it. My body is still in shock from that day, and I'm just slowly trying to get better.
Peyton McNabb, what was it like for you? And I know you've made world news, not U.S. news, because as with all women who are hurt, seriously injured or killed by Democrat policies, the sentence for that, for embarrassing the party, is, of course, cancellation. So you've been canceled as if to the mainstream media, you do not exist. But the UK Daily Mail outside this country has acknowledged you exist. You gave them an interview the other day. What was it like for you watching this poor woman in this Olympic boxing fight give up 46 seconds in, drop to her knees and cry as her live streams, as yours did, vanish before her face because she can't take another hit? What was that like for you?
It was absolutely heartbreaking. And seeing those pictures of her on her knees crying, it just breaks my heart in half because she has worked her whole life for this moment. An interview afterwards where she says that she fights for her late dad who told her to keep pushing and all these things, and then she had to give up 46 seconds later because they put her in a ring with a man who punched her too hard, because that's just so unfair. And she's just worked her whole life, and she's at the Olympics just to be put in the ring with a man. So it's morally wrong, and it's just hard to see because it just should not be happening.
You know, she could feel the danger of that hit to her face. You have that moment where you're like, I got to stop. I'm going to get hurt. You know that moment well. How do you feel about the media's absolute unwillingness to acknowledge women could be hurt or killed here? Riley Gaines is saying, look, we're going to have a dead woman before we have a serious conversation about that. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I feel like I've always said, like, what's the magic number? Because there's been so many girls that have been injured, and I just never knew how many there was going to be until it was a big enough deal for the Democrats and the people above us, the adults that should be protecting us, how many have to get hurt before they take it seriously. But unfortunately, I agree with Raleigh. I mean, I think someone will have to die before people wake up and see that it is happening. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope no one does that. I hope it doesn't go that far with anyone, but that is the reality in which we live in. And we're just going to have to see where it goes, I guess, and keep fighting, because people are trying to act like this is not happening. And they're trying to be inclusive, but they're really just excluding all women and saying, you don't matter. Your safety doesn't matter, because they don't want to upset a man who has a false reality that they're a woman.
Unbelievable. Real quick question. I've always been curious about that. When you got hit in the head in that volleyball game that I think the whole world's seen now, did you know that was a transgender male that you were playing against, or no?
I did. Okay. It was really obvious, because we didn't play anyone that hit like that, and we had to prepare differently for this game. Almost my whole team, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but 99% of my team and like all of my administration, none of us wanted to do it. None of us agree with it. But we had no idea what to do. I mean, this was 2 years ago. I feel like, yeah, if this happened today, we would kind of be like, okay, yeah, we're just going to refuse to play, because more and more people are talking about it, and we're forcing people to talk about it. Like over at IW, we're making this a conversation every day. And that really wasn't the case 2 years ago. So a lot of people say, you know, I asked for this, I agreed to play the game, but I had no idea what to do. And I'm definitely not afraid to stand up for, obviously I'm not, to stand up for what's right and what I believe in. But at the time, I had no idea like how we would even go about it. But yeah, we did know.
Well, Peyton McNabb, I hope that you are able to fully heal eventually from the hit to your head by this transgender male woman.
Thank you so much.
And I want to thank you for joining us this morning on 98.9 WORD. Peyton McNabb of North Carolina just joined us on the show to talk about the brain damage she still has and the struggles in her day-to-day life. Ruined her vision. She was a student. Now she has to have help because of the brain damage she had from a transgender woman. In other words, a boy pretending to be a girl, played her in volleyball, knocked her out cold, including partial paralysis on one side of her body she's still recovering from. Media doesn't care. The sentence, as a woman, if you are maimed or killed by a Democrat policy, the sentence for that is cancellation. Been saying this for a year now. They will cancel you. You have embarrassed the party by failing to survive their policies. And before they cancel you, they may mock you. Remember Joy Reid and Jamila Jayapal, liberal Congress member, laughing at the dead, laughing at them for failing to survive the left's and Kamala Harris's border czar policies. And it's no different here. She didn't survive fully intact. She is damaged. Peyton McNabb, she's going to have to fight to come back. So she is an object of shame and thus must be canceled. We cannot speak of her. And you know what she said that bothered me the most in that last interview right there that you heard? People said to me, if you were afraid, why did you go? Why did you play? And she said, today I wouldn't have. I didn't understand what I was up against. I can hear it. Can you not hear it, ladies? Why did you wear that short skirt? I mean, you know, if you hadn't worn a shirt, that skirt, you know, that short, you know. Why did you show up? Why did you put on that volleyball outfit? Why did you play? And it's the same thing they're doing, the left is doing right now to this poor Italian boxer. Do you know what they're doing to her online? They're saying she planned this. She planned to walk out of the ring beforehand and embarrass this man who failed a gender test and has XY chromosomes. And that what she should have done if she's a good person, is stand there and take the hit again and again to the face. Beating women, men beating women is now an Olympic sport. And if you don't sit there and let him break your nose, if you don't sit there and let him hit you so hard it scares you because you cannot return it force for force, you are a bigot. It's your fault. Look, you went out at night in a short skirt. Was it after dark, honey? I mean, come on, whose fault really is that? Do you really want to tell the jury it was his fault? I mean, come on. You want to tell the jury it was his fault? You got brain damage? Do you want to do that? Come on, you know you wanted it. I can hear it. As a woman, I can hear it. This is ridiculous. So this poor woman is now, she was fighting, this poor Olympic boxer was fighting in honor of a dead father who trained her. She says, that's why I went in the ring. I knew I was going to get hurt and I did it for him anyway. Rather than forfeit, she gets the blame. Why? Because she's embarrassed the left. But you know what is good? You want to know what's good? It's good. It's a good thing about this. Again, this program we've just started using this week where I could finally see again what are people following. This is the number one story in this country right now. Right up there. Across women, men, all demographics. So this Olympics, folks, has been a disaster for the left. The opening ceremony reminded everybody about how bark at the moon, stark, insane they are, how blasphemous they are, how sick they are. So much so that I think it was beginning to maybe hurt the Democrats in this election. They had to call up the Olympic Committee. Could you censor that? Could you make it go away? So they made it go away. And now, what is the number one story out of this Olympics right now? This is a fact because I know I can see it. I can see the metrics on this program we have. It's this. It's not poor Simone Biles and how she overcame the FBI protecting her sexual abuser to go back and win the gold again. It's not about the FBI allowing the guy who did it to her to destroy evidence, which is a crime. It's not about her overcoming rape at the hands of the FBI with her pedophile abuser protected. What a great comeback story. No, it's not about that. It's about this woman crying on international TV because she didn't want to get the same kind of brain injury Pete and McNabb got. This has been a disaster of a week for the left, which makes me happy. Pete McNabb of North Carolina just joined us on the show to talk about the brain damage she still has and the struggles in her day-to-day life. Ruined her vision. She was a student. Now she has to have help because of the brain damage she had from a transgender woman. In other words, a boy pretending to be a girl. Played her in volleyball, knocked her out cold, including partial paralysis on one side of her body she's still recovering from. Media doesn't care. The sentence, as a woman, if you are maimed or killed by a Democrat policy, the sentence for that is cancellation. Been saying this for a year now. They will cancel you. You have embarrassed the party by failing to survive their policies. And before they cancel you, they may mock you. Remember Joy Reid and Jamila Jayapal, liberal Congress member, laughing at the dead, laughing at them for failing to survive the left's and Kamala Harris's border czar policies. And it's no different here. She didn't survive fully intact. She is damaged. Peyton McNabb, she's going to have to fight to come back. So she is an object of shame and thus must be canceled. We cannot speak of her. And you know what she said that bothered me the most in that last interview right there that you heard? People said to me, if you were afraid, why did you go? Why did you play? And she said, today I wouldn't have. I didn't understand what I was up against. I can hear it. Can you not hear it, ladies? Why did you wear that short skirt? I mean, you know, if you hadn't worn a shirt, that skirt, you know, that short, you know. Why did you show up? Why did you put on that volleyball outfit? Why did you play? And it's the same thing they're doing, the left is doing right now to this poor Italian boxer. Do you know what they're doing to her online? They're saying she planned this. She planned to walk out of the ring beforehand and embarrass this man who failed a gender test and has XY chromosomes. And that what she should have done If she's a good person, is stand there and take the hit again and again to the face. Beating women, men beating women is now an Olympic sport. And if you don't sit there and let him break your nose, if you don't sit there and let him hit you so hard it scares you because you cannot return it force for force, you are a bigot. It's your fault. Look, you went out at night in a short skirt. Was it after dark, honey? I mean, come on, whose fault really is that? Do you really want to tell the jury it was his fault? I mean, come on. You want to tell the jury it was his fault? You got brain damage? Do you want to do that? Come on, you know you wanted it. I can hear it. As a woman, I can hear it. This is ridiculous. So this poor woman is now, she was fighting, this poor Olympic boxer was fighting in honor of a dead father who trained her. She says, that's why I went in the ring. I knew I was going to get hurt and I did it for him anyway. Rather than forfeit, she gets the blame. Why? Because she's embarrassed the left. But you know what is good? You want to know what's good? It's good. It's a good thing about this. Again, this program we've just started using this week where I could finally see again what are people following. This is the number one story in this country right now. Right up there. Across women, men, all demographics. So this Olympics, folks, has been a disaster for the left. The opening ceremony reminded everybody about how bark at the moon, stark, insane they are, how blasphemous they are, how sick they are. So much so that I think it was beginning to maybe hurt the Democrats in this election. They had to call up the Olympic Committee. Could you censor that? Could you make it go away? So they made it go away. And now, what is the number one story out of this Olympics right now? This is a fact because I know I can see it. I can see the metrics on this program we have. It's this. It's not poor Simone Biles and how she overcame the FBI protecting her sexual abuser to go back and win the gold again. It's not about the FBI allowing the guy who did it to her to destroy evidence, which is a crime. It's not about her overcoming rape at the hands of the FBI with her pedophile abuser protected. What a great comeback story. No, it's not about that. It's about this woman crying on international TV because she didn't want to get the same kind of brain injury Pete and McNabb got. This has been a disaster of a week for the left, which makes me happy.